We thank you, Lord. Our hearts are glad for the people that have sat in darkness have seen a great light. The great star of light shining in our hearts day by day. Thank you, Lord, for your word says that we all with an open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, that we are changed to that same image from glory to glory, even as by your Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that even the glory of Moses, where the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold his face, was to be done away because of a greater glory. We thank you, Lord, for the glory of your Spirit. Hallelujah. We ask, Lord, as we behold your face, Lord, the brilliance of your light will take away the veils of our hearts. I will begin to see you as you are, not with an unveiled face. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. Thy kingdom come, O Lord. Thy rule, O Christ, thy rule. Hallelujah. You say the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. We thank you, Lord, as you give us the bread to eat. Hallelujah. Even the seed for the sower. That, Lord, we receive freshness from you. We just ask, Lord, that as our brother minister, I will minister under your unction. Who will bring forth, O God, hallelujah, word season to him that is weary. We pray that you give him the tongue of the learned this day. Hallelujah. As you awaken his ear to hear you, Lord, he will hear you clearly. So that the words will come with the demonstration of the power and of your Spirit. Not with mere wisdom of man. That glory might be given to you. We pray that, Lord, our ears might be open to hear your word. That, Lord, will not be distracted. That while your word is going on, will not be distracted. Our minds will not be wandering. Your word says clearly, the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but the mighty true God to the pulling down of strongholds. He said, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. He said, bringing into captivity every thought. We bring every thought, O God, this morning to the obedience of Christ. Thank you, our Father. Arise, O morning star, and never set. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Matthew chapter 25 from verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so. Let there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Praise the Lord. This is a popular passage, fact from kindergarten. It's a story that is often repeated. But because of this story inclination of this passage, the tendency is that the import of the message is often lost. Incidentally, the book of Matthew, if we were to title it another passage or give it a title, we can call it the book of the kingdom of heaven. Parables, parables, and parables. Saying, far from the beginning, even as from the time of John, as he started preaching, what was he preaching? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was what he was preaching. And the Lord Jesus, when he was addressing his people, that's in chapter 5 of Matthew, it was the same thing, the kingdom of heaven. Each time we look at the concept of heaven, because the tendency is there that everybody's heaven is there. And because of that, when the Bible is talking of virgins, the import is lost. Who are these virgins? Now, from verse 1, because sometimes it's good to look at how a passage starts. Look at it, say, then. That was the concept. Then means that something was before. Before it just came to the point, said, then the kingdom of heaven. If we were to look at what transpired in the whole of chapter 24, when the Lord Jesus was talking to his disciples about the kingdom of heaven, they were asking him the signs and how it will happen. But the last part that talks about readiness was from verse 43 of that Matthew 24. From verse 42, he said, "What therefore? For ye know not what hour your Lord does come. But know this, that if the good man of the house have known in what watch the thief should come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man doth cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord has made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." That was the statement the Lord Jesus said. Then, he just said, then, the kingdom of heaven. So we begin to see that there is this issue of the people of God as the one to receive the kingdom of heaven. Christ made it clear, talks about the everlasting life, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, all making reference to the fact that it will come. This kingdom is to be received by a people. It's to be received by the individuals. The kingdom of heaven. He said, but this kingdom of heaven will come an hour when the careless servant, because that's why he was talking about the careless servant, and also talked about that good servant whom the Lord will find so doing that which he has committed to his hands. But the foolish one will not do that, that he will be oppressing his fellow servants. And this is the dividing line. So when the Lord Jesus now started talking about the foolish and the wise, you can see it from this context. That servant whom the Lord, his Lord, will meet so doing that which is committed into his hand, is a wise servant, a wise virgin. But the other one who will be smiting and oppressing other servant, the same shall be considered a foolish servant. So this is the background we should have at the back of our minds. So he said, then the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. 10 virgins. When God started talking about 10, because we know 10 has to do with trial and temptation. So he said 10 virgins. It means virgins that have been tried and tested. Because we are not talking of one who is careless. Yesterday, my brother was talking about Adam. So it means anyone with the Adam mark is not a virgin, because he has gone about with the fornicator of this world. But God is talking about virgins. And when you talk about virgin, we're talking about purity. It means that people that have walked with the Lord, they have been found faithful. They have walked, they have been tested, they have been tried. And that's where we have to be careful for us. Because like Brother Paul said, he said, after I have done all this, led others to Christ, that if by any means I be cast away. And we have to be careful so that we are not going to become a cast away. And what can make somebody to become a cast away is foolishness. The Bible didn't say that they were not virgins. It said they were virgins, all of them. Both the foolish and the wise were all virgins, pure in the sight of the Lord. They ran the race with patience. They were tested and tried. But at the last point, they were foolish. This is where we'll have to be very careful. And what do you see there? It said, we took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. They took their lamps, went forth to meet the bridegroom. If they were not waiting for the coming of the bridegroom, of course, they wouldn't have been getting ready. So it means we are talking of a people that are waiting for the consolation of Israel. They were waiting, all waiting for the consolation of Israel, to be comforted, to receive this kingdom of heaven. But there was a problem. So they took their lamps. Now, Where is the lamb that they took? Are we looking for one torchlight or one lamp anywhere? No. We've been talking about this since yesterday. The lamb is there. So they took their land. Let's look at Proverbs 20:27. Proverbs 20:27. So the spirit of man is the lamp. Don't mind the wrong translation of candle. There was no candle in Israel, so they couldn't have used candle. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. The spirit of man. So if God is going to touch you, he will touch you from your spirit. So that's what was shown. That's the spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit, and then the spirit of man. God will touch us from there. But from the spirit of man, if God is going to touch the soul, it has to be from the mind. And that's why the Bible will say, God will say, come, let us reason together. It's to tell you that God talks to us through our mind. Come, let us reason together. God is not looking for a robot that is going to force to do anything. No. Come, let us reason together. So God is always calling us to reason. Even now, what is God doing? Let us reason together. But he has something in mind. Each time he calls you to reason with him, he wants you to see reason why he wants you to do what he wants you to do. So, the spirit of man is the lamb of God. So, it's that spirit of man that will search the inward path. That's where you now talk of the whole soul, for which the mind is just a part. So, if God wants to search us, he will search us through his spirit, through our spirit, so that he can know what is inside of us. So, we know what lamb is. So, when God is saying, you take your lamb, the lamb you are taking is the lamb of your spirit. That lamb God has given it to us. So you take that spirit, and what do? You are offering him that lamb. So the problem now is, are we willing to allow the light of God to come upon our spirit? So, but this happened when we get born again. Because that's when you are offering him. No, the Bible talks of the tabernacle. The first article there, that altar of burnt offering. When it was set in place, put the wood, put everything, Moses prayed. And the Bible says, fire came from heaven upon that altar. So what God is telling us is that you are not born again until the fire of God comes to your spirit. And that fire must remain there forever, because the Bible says that fire shall not go out. And that was why the priests were ordered by God 2 times in a day to go and trim this fire. So you have to trim it and ensure you put more wood, put new offering there, morning and evening. So it's very necessary. So the problem that we can become a foolish virgin will start coming from what we are doing with what God is offering us. Many Christians, after they have received the fire, after a while, what happened? The fire went off and they will continue to go on. And the problem is that it is that fire from the altar of burnt offering or no other fire. Once you bring any other fire, the Bible calls it what? Strange fire. Strange fire. Then trouble starts. The two sons of Eli, two sons of Aaron brought strange fire. They were consumed. Because God has ordered. So it means for me and you, there is only one fire that is available for us, and that is the fire that comes from God. So salvation must be genuine for this fire to come. So if you are here and you cannot testify that you have received fire from God, you need to ask that you should be prayed for. Amen. There is no two way about it. If you leave the altar of burnt offering without fire, then you become an undone offering. You are undone. And if you are undone, it's like you are an abominable offering before the Lord. So your offering must be burnt completely. And that's why God is saying, what do you do? He will come, the priest will come in the morning to carry away the ashes. You carry away the ashes and you pour it in a clean place. And what is the meaning of that? Those ashes that are carried are proof of the fact that this one has stayed in the presence of the Lord. That this one has had God's dealing upon his life and upon our life. So you carry the ashes and you begin to pour it, and the ashes begin to build up. The more the ashes are building up in the clean place where it is poured, then before God, that is a testimony that this one is receiving dealing of God upon his life or upon our life. If you were on this altar and at the end of the day you are not producing any ashes, then there is a problem. There is a problem. What is God saying? The flesh in us, the stumble, the wood, the hay must burn off so that what will remain will be the gold, the nature of God. That's the only one that can survive the fire. So if you come out there and there are still hay and wood upon you, it means that you pull yourself out of the fire. So we are dealing with foolish and wise virgin. What will make somebody to be foolish? For now, it might look as if I can't receive this fire. It is too much. God dealing upon my life is too much. But then, at the end, you will become a foolish virgin. After all the suffering and all that, then what happened? They were told, I know you not. May that never be our portion in Jesus' name. So, he said, I know you not. That was the voice of the bridegroom speaking to the virgins who were foolish. So we are talking about the fact that we are looking towards the receiving the testimony of Jesus in our lives. And it is this testimony that will last. It is this testimony that will stand the test of time. It's the same thing when God was talking about the locks of the herd must grow when he talks about a Nazarite. Because the Nazarite vow is a perpetual vow. And it is the Nazarite that comes and say, I want to take a Nazarite vow. And God says, you take it and it remains there. So the vow of the Nazarite, when you begin to compare even to the vow of the priests, you discover that the vow of the Nazarite is higher than the vow of the priest. Because the priest can stand where maybe his son or unmarried daughter, if they die. But for the Nazarite, no one. He said, no dead body. None at all. So, if by mistake somebody falls suddenly, he has lost all the Nazarite vow. So, what that means is that you have to come and take the fire again. So, that day you shave off that one. He said, the days that were behind were all lost. You have to start all over again. That is the vow that me and you will have in God. It's a Nazarite vow. By your own design, we made up our minds that we are going to be a Nazarite unto God. No, it's not by compulsion. You take it and will remain there. So when it is lost, there's nothing to run away from. You go back and start again. It's the same way. When the fire goes out, no problem. You have to go back to God and go and start it all over again. But the years that were passed, they were all lost. And that's why for many who are always going forward and losing all, going forward, and you just discover that you are not progressing in God. Because the purpose is that we are not guarding jealously the light that we have received. That light must be kept aglow. It must be kept burning. And once we are able to do that, then we can keep pressing on in God. And when you come to the altar of incense, the only fire that is permitted in the altar of incense is the fire from the altar of burnt offering. So you don't go along. It's the same fire that you use to lighten the lamp. The same fire. So it means that in God we have a beginning, and everything that we do must be built up on that beginning. So that's why the scripture says, if the foundation be destroyed, say, what can the righteous do? So once the foundation is destroyed, what do? You go back again and you start all over so that there will be a new foundation. So God is helping us to understand this concept so that at the end of the day we will not become a foolish virgin. If we go on, they went out to meet the bridegroom. They were really ready. And for them to qualify to go out to meet the bridegroom, then it means that at least something has happened in their lives. Like the book of Revelation, I think 19, talks about that the virgin, the bride, has made herself ready. So it means for God to say, these are virgins that have gone out to meet the bridegroom. They were well arrayed, wearing what they're supposed to put on, the ornaments of meek and quiet spirit. All the necessary ornaments were put on. The earrings in place where, and that golden earring that is from the bridegroom, because it's with it that we hear the voice of the bridegroom. And any bride without a golden earring cannot hear when the bridegroom speaks. And if you are not hearing the bridegroom, then you are none of the bridegroom. But these people, they qualify. They had the earring. They were hearing him. They knew he was coming. And that was why they went out to meet him. But at the end of the day, five were foolish. And that is the issue that we have to fight against. So that at the end of the day, you know, we will not be foolish. So we must take heed, because it involves taking heed. You know, and taking heed means perceiving, understanding. We must take heed to ourselves so that we are all wise. Now, the other aspect is in verse 3. When God started demarcating what makes one foolish and what makes one wise. He said, the wise took oil in their vessel with their lamp. Now, the wise took oil in their vessel and their lamp. The vessel is the soul, whereas the lamp is the spirit. And we have been told yesterday that when God wants to come in to Edmund, he will look for a space. That's once you just say, God, come into me, you must deliberately open up and say, God, come in. Even when the place is filled with all manner of things, just give him, just I knock, open. It doesn't matter whether the whole place is filled up. Once you open for him, then he must enter. What it requires, are we ready to open? He's knocking. Just open. So, he will enter. And once he enters, as we press on in him, as we are seeking for oil, because that is the issue. Are we seeking for oil? More oil. 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 Because it's the oil, the Bible says, that will make the face to shine. Amen. The oil makes our faces to shine. So it must make our faces to shine in God. So when there is no oil, then there is trouble. Anything you are doing without oil is your strength. Because the oil is the energy of God to accomplish the purpose of God in our lives. So anything in God that you are doing without God's energy is flesh. And will never be acceptable before him. If we are going to make any progress in God, then we require God's energy. And God's energy is saying, do it the way I want you to do it. The lamp in the holy place will burn, to the extent that, because the oil is available. And in the time past, the priest will be putting the oil in the lamp. That was the old order. But what God is doing now, the two holy priests are directly beside the lamp, pouring their holy golden oil into the lamp. What that means is that the Word and the Spirit are available to provide the oil that we need in our spirit. Perpetually there. That's only if we open. If we open to Him to come in. It's possible that as He's bringing His pipe, He will push it away. Because when the pipe will come in, it will come with some pains. It will come with some pains. You say, God, no, I won't allow this pipe into my system. Then you are cut off from the oil. And so what do you do? Everything that you are doing is fleshy. Carnal. You are on your own, so to say. So, but God is saying, make room for me. Not only in your spirit, but also in your soul. So, if we make room for God in our soul, then what do we do? He said, we are going to buy oil. You buy oil every day. How do you buy oil? We buy oil not with money. He said, without money. But at the same time, you buy. This is where the mystery of God is revealed. You go to the market to go and buy with your money. But what God is saying is that you buy with your strength, with your energy, with directing all your innermost being to God and saying you pay the price through trial, through temptation, through your ability to want to please God. As you are pleasing God, you are receiving oil. If you are not pleasing God, when God says this is the way and you are losing now, and it's, what are you doing? You are losing oil. So, oil is a treasure to be desired. It's what the proverb says. It's a treasure to desire. That's Proverbs 21:20. Let's read it. Treasure to be desired. There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise. But a foolish man spendeth it all. So, you see the difference between the wise and the foolish. The wise is desiring oil. Is desiring oil. Accumulating it. But the wise one is doing what? Spending oil. The foolish is spending oil. Just wasting it. That's the language there. Waste. Wasting it. But this one, and look at it, say, oil in the dwelling of the wise. Where is the dwelling of the wise? It is the soul. Oil in the dwelling. Yeah, not oil in the spirit. Once you offer him to God, there is oil in the lamp. But the problem is, how do we put oil in the soul? And like we were taught yesterday, that the soul, anywhere the soul is, the body will follow. The body will follow the soul. You know, like the scripture says, what came from God, that's the bread of life. It says, so the spirit will do what? Return back to God. So what happened? So the problem you have is the problem of the soul. So if you can take care of your soul right here, then you can take up your body later on. But if you cannot take care of your soul, then That's where the problem is. So even if you take off your body later on, that will be in hell fire. So there is a taking care of the vessel. And that's what the Bible is talking about. Because our soul is our dwelling place. Is the dwelling. And not just the dwelling place for us, but the dwelling place for God. So, but the only way God will come in is if we allow the Lamb of God that is shining forth in our spirit to shine forth also in our soul. So as we get oil, as we buy oil that has been tried in the fire, because oil, let's look, we are familiar with palm oil. Yeah. When you see those who make palm oil, it is with intense fire, heating, for the oil to come out. So this oil will come out only of our lives. It will come out of our lives when we pass through the crucibles of God. When we allow God's dealing upon our lives to be perfect, to mature, to be progressive. And Bible will say that we are wise virgins when you are doing so. Because oil must be in the dwelling of the people of God. And when you allow oil there, when you desire oil there, then you are wise. But those who are wasting oil, spending oil, because this same oil, the devil is looking for it. Because the devil cannot generate any energy. But he's looking for the energy that has been generated by the people of God to take. And that has been the problem of the people of God. I remember some years ago we were in Kenya. One small girl asked a big question. She said, in the future we're talking of a serpent. In Genesis, the serpent deceived. But how come that in Revelation we are talking of a dragon? What was he eating that made it to become so big? I can never forget that question. Maybe about 12-year-old sister. That is what we are saying. Yeah, the dragon has been eating our oil, and is becoming fatter and fatter. The day we tell the dragon, no more oil from me, no more oil, then what happened? It will become weaker and weaker and weaker. The life of the devil is in our hands. This dragon is in our hands. But the only way, that's why it's not by deception. Because deception is you have just given oil to the devil. And he's stronger, and you are weaker because all the oil you have generated, you are taking. Then you are now saying, I bind you. He will just look at you and laugh. With what strength are you binding him? So God is beginning to reveal, you know, to his people that we have this power of God within us to seek for oil in our vessel. So, because this treasure, God is saying, we have it in heaven vessel. So, you begin to see it. The treasure is in a vessel. And that this soul is a heaven vessel. So, we begin to appreciate the fact that the soul has to be tender to keep this oil. So that you are not wasting it. And because of our hatingness, that's why the devil can readily want to get this oil. But the wise will know how to keep, to tend this garden. Because it's a garden. The soul of man is a garden. And we have to tend this garden very well. so that the devil will not have access to it. No, you know, in Revelation, after man was cast out of the garden, because the garden has now become empty. So God will not allow any or anything to enter there. God said, and he kept cherubims at the four corners of this garden to protect it. So it is being protected, but God is doing a new thing. Now, the foolish were those who were not able to take care of their soul. So in their soul, anything, their mind are all a lot of things written, all handwriting. So I've been written there. In their emotions have been written all manner of four-footed beasts. In the will, in our desires, no space for God. That's what we're saying. There's no space for God. And the only way, if we have this problem, is to begin to address our minds to God. You know, so because God is saying, come, let us reason together. So let's reason with God to say that we want to make it, that we want to press on in God. So the Word of God and the Spirit of God will help His people, you know, to come to the place where oil is gathered and preserved and not wasted. Now, no, the Bible is talking about the kingdom of God. And there are other things we can look at. For example, in that book of Matthew, the Lord Jesus was saying it is difficult for the rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Difficult. But the Lord Jesus didn't say it is impossible. He said it is difficult. But the solution is basically in Matthew chapter 5 verse 3. Because he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven belongs to the poor in spirit. So the rich man, if he will learn to not to trust in the strength of his riches, if we learn to trust in God, to believe in the saving power of God, not in the saving power of money and power, he will become poor in spirit. In spite of his riches, if we become poor in spirit. And that's why the Lord Jesus was stressing, the problem is not even the riches, but the love of riches. So that love, you want to grab and grab and grab and grab. You keep grabbing. Even when you have no need for them, keep grabbing. But that love is the problem. And the Bible says that's the root of all evil. So, brethren, we are looking at the fact that we can make it in God. You want to make it? The Bible says, blessed are those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. So, we are talking on how to get oil. You are poor in spirit. Yes. For Christ, you are getting oil. You are persecuted for righteousness' sake. That is getting oil in your soul. Because the mind will tell you that you are just suffering for nothing if you allow the devil to come in. But when you come to the point and you say, this one, because of Christ, you are getting oil. So there are several places to get oil. In another place,
Christ was talking about the Pharisees. He says, our righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees if we want to enter into the kingdom. And what are the righteousness of the Pharisees? Those are the ones that are geared towards showing self. So what God is saying, that we have to deal with self in our lives. Because the Pharisees, the scribes, they are specialists in self. Self-aggrandizement, self-praise. Everything, the motive of whatever they are doing is self. So our righteousness must exceed. And when you come to that point, what are you doing? You are getting oil in your soul. Because God is dealing with something there. And because in the soul are things that are interested in the oil. Thus, anger is interested in oil. Then, lust is interested in oil. Just pride, all of them, they are there. These are the wild beasts. So any oil that you bring, they want to share it. But that's why you must cast them out. You must cast them out. He said, you have been offended, you will never forgive. You cannot get oil. Any oil you bring, what happened? See, offense will take it. And when offense has taken in, it will become stronger. And your ability to forgive goes down. So God is saying that God must increase, while I must decrease. So the decreasing of me and you is the solution for getting oil. And not only that, the increase of God in our lives will provide us with the needed oil. Because the power of God unto salvation is just there. Praise the Lord. So, the kingdom of heaven is important. And God was revealing this to us. What is likened unto. Now, verse 5 is very important. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Virgins, waiting for the consolation of Israel, waiting for the bridegroom. But because the bridegroom tarried, said they all slept. You see, yes, they all slept. But because people have walked during the day, look as he said, the Bible says, I will walk the walk of him that sent me. For why it is day, for the night cometh when no man shall walk. The night hour of waiting is the hour of slumber and sleeping. But one who are wise, they've all walked during the day. So they add oil in their lamp, and they have reserve in their vessel. So the Bible says they are wise. But the other one says, I will live for today. Yes, I will live for today. The only little strength you are looking for is the strength for today. That's the problem. So it means he was not able to gather oil and save And no wonder Solomon in the book of Proverbs was saying, you sluggard, what you say? Go to the ants and learn. He said, yes, they are little things, but they have learned how to gather in summer. So we must learn to gather oil and preserve it. You must gather and preserve. So if we don't know how to say, go to the hand. So we have come to the time where we can no longer be sluggard now that we can walk. Because the night is coming when no man can walk. But when it is day, we must walk. Hallelujah. So they all slept and slumbered. But because there was oil in the soul, they were able to keep touch with heaven. But the other ones, when they woke up, you know, and they heard the voice, behold, the bridegroom coming, go out to meet him. Then they woke up and discovered that the lamb gone out. And the other ones, they said they just trimmed their lamb. They trimmed their lamb. And because there was oil, what happened? Just went up very bright. And then they came. The foolish came. He said, oh, please, can we have some of your oil? He said, it's not possible. If we give you from here, it will not be enough for us. So better go out and buy. And this particular verse is important for us. Because the Lord Jesus said, see, there is a time when we cannot give oil. If you give oil during a particular time when you are not supposed to give oil, you become foolish. And because they were wise, they said, no, sorry. This is an uncomely hour. It's an uncomely hour. Midnight. Who are the people selling at midnight? Where are we going to get oil to go and buy? So if we share our own with you, then what happens? All of us will be foolish. Oh, and there's no black market. There is only one way. You must go to God. You must go. See, he made it clear. He said, go to them that sell. Go to them that sell. There are people who cannot sell oil. And what God is showing to us is so that, because what will separate the foolish and the wise is midnight. Oh, yeah. And that's where we are coming to. Yes, everybody is jumping up, I'm the bride of Christ, I'm the bride of Christ. But the midnight will show who are the true bride of Christ. And that's why our hearts, we must make up our minds to be indeed the wise one, the wise virgins of Christ. So, you know, the Lord Jesus in Matthew 24, he said, woe to them that give suck at that time. That is the hour of midnight. Give suck. You know what it means to give suck? You see, now we can give suck. That is, I have oil, I share with you. You have oil, you share with me. That's what we are doing. We are giving suck. He said, but at this middle of the night, woe to you if you give suck. or you are with children. Are you just looking at those who have a little baby? No. Spiritual babies. Woe to you if you have spiritual babies at that time. Because you, when you gather oil, you want to share with somebody. And that is sensing that time comes. During that period, if you are not ready to take oil now, when it is day, the night coming when no one can give oil. And the Bible is saying, even the Lord Jesus declared it, woe to you if you want to give suck in that time of the hour of the midnight. That's Matthew 24:19. So we cannot give suck. So all what you can do, go to them that sell oil and go and buy. But there's a problem. In verse 10. But let's start from 9. But the wise answer saying, not so. Not so. We cannot share oil. Not so. Lest there be nothing known for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready. Can see the implication. They that were ready. So those whose light went off were not ready. So the five who had oil in their spirit and oil in their soul were the ones that were ready. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. You may ask, this is the time to buy oil. And that's why Christ is saying, say, buy oil without price and without money. So let's buy oil now, brethren, because the night is coming. Buying oil now is important. Because you don't buy oil without struggle now. Because the Lord Jesus, when talking about John the Baptist, said something. Said, the kingdom of God suffereth violence. Suffereth violence. He said, and the violent taketh it by force. You want to buy oil, you have to be violent about it. Because to buy oil now is not easy. Because things are, the world is becoming much more difficult. Everything, anywhere you turn, there are people waiting to take the little oil that you have. You want to buy oil, but the little you have, they are ready to take it. You are looking for more. They are looking for the little that you have. This is where the problem is. This, our world system is harsh. And they have become the sucker of oil. Just to suck oil. And the reason is clear. The dragon needs the oil. Because he knew that there is a battle coming. And this battle, he will lose it. So that's why he's mustering all the strength that he can get. How is he mustering all the strength? He's to take oil from the people of God. He wants to take oil. Because that's where the strength is. But we know that as we watch, because that's the advice, as I said, watch therefore. Watch therefore. So let's watch, brethren. So if we watch therefore, then we will know what to do. Because verse 12 said, but he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So, brethren, the Son of Man is coming, and is saying we should watch. Watch therefore. All in the dwelling of the wise is it more important. So let not be waster of oil. So before we go, let's look at Revelation 19 from verse 5. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Revelation 19, read from verse 5. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted, it's important that we listen to this, that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see that do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Amen. The testimony of Jesus. So, we must have that testimony. So, brethren, what we are talking about, this oil is the testimony of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus Christ. See, the testimony of Jesus Christ is not a mouth. The testimony of Jesus is a life. It's a life. It's not a question as though, I confess Jesus. No. Because he said they overcame him by the blood of their Lamb and by the word of their testimony. The word of their testimony. It means the speaking of the testimony of their lives. That's with word that you will overcome him. No wonder the seven sons of Sceva, you know, they tried. They came and said, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, come out. Say, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But you, who are you? That is what they are saying. So the spirits, they know us. And we pray that in the spirit we shall all be known. Because you are known when you have the testimony of Jesus. God, this testimony is what stand. It must stand. And it will speak and it will talk. And to show all, he said, and they love none their lives unto the dead. So to tell you that you get the testimony of Jesus by not loving your life. And when you don't love your life unto death, say you receive the testimony of Jesus. So that's why we, the way we are, brethren, anyone who has not the testimony of Jesus cannot receive from him. We cannot take things from him. He said, That's why when somebody says, you see people going about, say they are prophets, prophet this, prophet that. And these are people that have never had the testimony of Jesus. So what prophecy are they bringing forth? False prophecy. Anyone without the testimony of Jesus cannot bring out true prophecy. True prophecy comes out from the testimony of Jesus. It's from the life of Jesus. And it is that life that Christ is calling us to this morning. He's calling us to a life, the life of Christ. You know, the life that has the cross of Christ in it. Not a crossless Christianity, which people are preaching all over the place. Christianity must have cross, because the cross is the center of Christianity. And any Christianity without the cross is no Christianity. It's crisis. And many people have been led astray. Christ must become all in all. We just pray that God will grant us help, wisdom and understanding to gather oil at this time and not to spend it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads to pray.